This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, good morning. My name is Ben Karpinski. This is The Gareth Show, and next to me is Mavali Malloy.
Hello.
And what is looking increasingly more like an episode of Survivor. This is what the show is becoming right now.
Yeah. It's just us.
Well, it's just us, but that's okay. Sia left the studio yesterday smartly dressed. Now, that means trouble in many ways. It means, obviously, he's going somewhere fancy. But then, you know, Sia gets less fancy on a Thursday night.
Well, you know, Thursday night is traditionally known as Puza Thursday. So for a lot of people, they get swept up in the wave and then they quickly realize that they are no match for the Puza.
Yeah, indeed. So it's Friday. The sexiest day of the week. Although we probably shouldn't encourage that kind of behavior around here, seeing as we'd lose a co-worker. The other day, I don't know what came up, what brought this on, but I was actually really sad that George Michael's gone. Like, I don't care about celebrities that much.
He's been gone for a while, though, Ben.
I know, Mubs. You know, I had, like, a little bit of nostalgia around Christmas, obviously, because he's got, like, the best Christmas song.
Uh-huh.
But then, like, I stumbled upon some clips, and, yeah, he did the whole comic relief thing with James Corden before James Corden became thinner and more famous. But the guy was just such a legend. Mostly because no one actually, like, I mean, he was a massive, like, what's the word? He was a massive fraud.
Sorry, George Michael?
Yeah.
Oh, because he had to keep parts about himself secret for so long.
Well, yeah, he had to fool this facade that, you know, like, you know, songs like Careless Whisper and I Gave You My Heart and all that kind of stuff. He was only ever giving it to men, or men were giving it to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, but, like, generations of women grew up, like, this guy, he was like that sex symbol.
Yes.
He was that real heartthrob. Meanwhile, he was just a big fraud when you think about it. Nothing wrong with that, of course, you know. Your preferences in life are your own. But it's just strange. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe because, as we always talk about, like, the lack of real musical talent or musical presence nowadays. Yeah, George, he definitely left his mark on this earth.
Yeah, look, also, you know, the 80s, Ben. You had to be a fraud in the 80s because, you know, people in the 80s were just not as open-minded as people have become over time.
Well, I guess.
To be a fraud meant to survive.
But exactly, which then also kind of comes back to how great living in today is because, you know, you can just go and be who you are, and that's totally fine.
Sure.
But he did have a lot of women who were just in his music videos all the time. I mean, this woman, she's in a boat. I mean, one of the greatest lines ever.
But now,
in this song,
if we were to analyze all George Michael music videos, is there ever a time where he is with the women? You know, in a way that it would be depicted in a typical love song,
well,
or is the woman always cast alongside some other male actor?
2:28 of Careless Whisper. George is definitely. In the altogether with some woman. But then she's like, oh, no, he's a cheat. And this other woman walks in, scandal, shock, horror, shoulder pads. Oh, you really, if you want to have some musical education today, it's George Michael's Careless Whisper. Oh, no, this is a cuckolded woman. She's running out. She's found a plane. George's, oh, no, this is just disastrous. Yeah, so today is Friday. And, of course, that means you got to end the week, so well done. Sia is not... He's just currently not here. I don't know what else to say. He's just currently not here. So bear with us while we get the running order together because, you know, the show is nothing without you.
Yep. He is kind of the executive producer. So.
Yeah. Look, I have sent a message. Just, are you alive? Question mark. But that's okay. If you want to get in touch with us on the WhatsApp line, then 079-748-2090. Gareth is still in Valdezel. He actually met up with High Rob yesterday. Yeah, he was saying that High Rob's also in Valdezel.
Oh.
And the two of them finally got to get together and had some drinks last night. So maybe we should chat to High Rob next week as well, because he's been having the most lit time in the snow. Like, High Rob is basically, you got to take a fire extinguisher on with that guy.
Yeah.
That's just how he draws. So I've had a really good week on WhatsApp. Look, mostly because I feel I've got really great friends, but like the dark humor, like the intensely funny stuff, and then every now and again you get a slightly clean video. So I thought I'd share this with you. It's all about being lost in translation.
Okay.
It's a nice place to visit. The accent can cause problems. I went to New York City, 1981. In New York, they call their ass ass. Where I come from, we call our house ass. So, took a girl out for the evening. We had an amazing night. Of course we did. I'm a very interesting man. Not just a stunner. On the way home, I stopped her. I said, listen, when we get back, what are the chances of me coming in your ass? This was 1981. It wasn't as popular back then. I know you kids are pushing on with the anal now. Animals. She said, oh my God, you want to come in my ass? I said, don't worry, I won't try and kiss you. Just let me come in your ass, love. I won't make a mess. I'll be in and out before you know.
Yeah, that's kind of the cleaner humor on my phone right now.
Okay, all right. If that's clean, then why don't you play us one of your dirty ones?
I don't know. I think there's a responsibility of crossing certain lines. Morning, guys. Any chance we can get the Weekend song? That's what the health Weekend song.
No, we can't get it.
What is it?
It's a Yamdi Bakadi song.
No, come on. We've all moved on from that.
No, but besides that, I mean, it's on Gareth's database, which none of us have access to, so no, we actually cannot get it.
And basically, Gareth's the only one that sings it, and then all of us kind of like chime in a bit while trying to smile a bit. Dip says, quote of the week, he wakes up, he's a dick. Ben on Zuma. The truth will always seem like hate to those who hate the truth, Graham. And on Black Monday, no. Mabali Mantashe.
No, as in Gwede Mantashe saying no.
You're obviously saying it. So, Dips, you've had a good week, obviously, with us, so much so that you found quotes that are very much worth repeating. We appreciate that. Listening live for the first time in 2 years, got to wake up at 6 a.m., usually get here at 9 and listen to podcasts of the show from Mr. Far Q. Well, Mr. Far Q, welcome. Welcome. Thanks for that. Buster Rhymes, he and a yeses. Smashing Friday in its face. Now, that's what one should wake up to. Yeah, Buster Rhymes, George Michael. I mean, come on, B. We've all got...
here we go.
Yeah, so...
Allow people their preferences, Ben.
Yeah, look, everyone's got a preference. So, it is the weekend, and, Mavis, have you got any big plans?
I don't have any big plans. Unfortunately, I'm having car trouble.
Oh, no.
So, I've got to take my car in today
What's the problem?
Well, over the last 2 days, I've noticed that the ABS light and the handbrake lights don't switch off.
Gosh.
So I phoned the service center yesterday, and they told me, okay, we'll bring it in today, which is what I'm going to do. And then I really don't have big plans. I mean, it's just the usual stuff. Friends, drinks, seeing the cousins, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cousin of mine who's getting ready to pop, so we're busy, you know, finalizing the baby shower details.
Have you been roped into this, or are you willingly participating?
No. I mean, I would have come across as a douche if I hadn't agreed to assist when I was asked to assist, and we're all kind of chiming in. So I'm there, and I love her, so I'll do it.
Wow, that's like the most compassionate thing you ever said.
I know it is, but yeah, that's because, you know, it's family. With family, it's different.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
So I'm emceeing this, like, really cool function tonight. Well, it's like actually probably like the biggest function in terms of important people. Like, I've emceed sports events and otherwise, like, golf days, like, kind of stuff. And mostly half my audience is, let's just conservatively say, 20% drunk. But tonight, people will be sober and, like, it's a fancy event.
Okay, what is it about?
Well, it's an automotive industry thing, so I'm going to the Scarlet Ribbon. You know where that is?
No.
So it's like this fancy place in Edenvale.
Edenvale?
Look, it's so...
The Vale.
It's so fancy.
Fancy and the Vale.
It's so fancy. When people from the East go there, they tell their friends they're going to Sandton. And okay, it's going to be quite cool. So I've got like this... I've had to read up about this company. I've learned all about stuff. And then I got to go like deliver to... And I always wonder, like, when you do these MC gigs. So what we do here... And obviously, we talk for a living, basically. We get here, we look, it's natural, because we've got a show, we've got a format to work in. But then, you know, the tough thing about emceeing, well, actually, the fun challenge about emceeing is always just reading the crowd.
Mm.
So you can approach things in three or four different ways, but it's so dependent on what the crowd's like. So if you can get to a crowd that's kind of rowdy, you can get away with a bit more stuff. If it's quite a prim and proper kind of thing, obviously, you've got to be respectful of certain people and what the client's looking to get out of an event.
Yeah.
But I always find it so interesting that, like, it goes back to what we were saying the other day about sexual harassment, is that if you're good-looking,
people can get away with a lot more.
You can get away with, like, a lot more. So when you're really famous, you can get away with a lot more. People laugh at your shit, like, a lot.
Mm.
But, like, I'm not at that level, so there's, like, less that I can get away with.
Oh, okay. So how are you planning on playing it, then?
I don't know. Like, again, because, you know, we don't rehearse a whole bunch because that's just what we do here. Not because we're lazy, it's just what we've done. So it's almost become like a habit of mine to go into these things slightly more unrehearsed or, like, not less prepared, but less scripted.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to be there for the first hour and sort of, like, gauge what the thing's going to be like. Because it's a Friday. So you're in a corporate and you've been asked to go to events on a Friday. It's one of two things. It's really great or it's like, oh, it's my spare time.
And it is the automotive industry people.
Yeah. No, look, from my experience, the automotive industry is quite tight, and, you know, people do kind of get along. It's look, it's a hard working industry, so like, I'm sure it's going to be great.
Look, the last thing that I think you should do is, you know, have that approach where you go in and you try and start with a joke, because it's such a fine line when trying to joke as an MC, because, look, you're not a comedian.
Exactly.
You're just an MC. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know Dave Levinson.
Well.
Dave always tries to start with jokes.
I don't know if he should be starting with jokes either, but that's...
No, he does. You can't keep Dave down. But Dave is the master of accepting the awkward silence. He just does it so well. He's almost got this facial expression for it now. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. And then it's the Pink ODI, the Pink Cricket game on Saturday, of which probably, I don't know, I've got to go to a kids' party, 2-year-old party.
Yeah.
And I actually don't mind, mostly because obviously I like the kids' parents, because that's why I've been invited.
Oh, you like the parents, not so much the kids.
Well, I haven't been invited by the kid, the kids too.
No, I mean, you know, it's his party.
Yeah, like, kid's cool. Like, kid seems very sweet. Yeah, look, obviously I like people. That's where we're going.
Yeah.
And then we've got family brides. But it's quite a tough weekend because, you know, so Daniela's family is up here, my girlfriend Daniela, and her grandmother she's kind of like far on in the game, you know what I mean?
Mm. Whereas grandparents tend to be.
Yeah, so it's getting to the time where she really is just like getting on. So, you know, her mother's up, we're going to have some family time. So, yeah, I've got this whole absolute mix.
Yeah.
Pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
But I've also got a bit of a dilemma right now, and I think it's a dilemma that everyone goes through, and it's about the inevitable, what do I do with my new phone? This is a conversation we have quite often on the show, but before I kind of get into the nuts and bolts of that, there's this really great sketch about that moment when your phone starts to die. And look, we've all been there.
Mr. Trapp, I want to let you know we've done everything we can, but your phone is dying.
What? No. No, he had a full charge 3 hours ago.
I'm afraid he's at 20%, a condition known in the medical community as, like, basically dead already.
Can I see him?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I knew I shouldn't have left my charger at home. Oh, you're weirdly hot.
Oh, this is all my fault.
Oh, no, don't say that. Oh,
it is, it is. I had Twitter open, and I was seeing all those pictures of cute dogs I saw on the street. I'm not even going to look at the pictures. I don't know why I was seeing them.
I'm your phone. I'm always going to be here for that kind of dumb stuff.
I hate to see him like this. Can we plug him in, please? Can we get a charger in here, please? Can someone get a charger in here?
Mr. Trapp, your phone is very old. The only charger we have that would even work belongs to Todd, in accounting.
Okay, let's get it.
I'm afraid Todd was super weird about loading it out.
I understand. How much time does he have?
It's hard to say. With a phone that's at 20%, they could have a happy, healthy life for another 2, 3, 5 hours. But sometimes it'll do this thing where it just jumps from 20% to 1 instantly. For no reason.
Why? Why would they do that?
We don't know. It's what doctors call very annoying.
Is there something we can do? Can we do that thing where we, like, close out apps by, like, swiping them away?
That doesn't actually help the battery.
Really?
I'll check.
No, phone, come on.
No, phone, save your strength.
I'm a phone. This is what I do.
There are a few things we could do to prolong his life.
Yes, anything, yes.
We can put him on airplane mode.
That sounds great. We're going to put you in airplane mode, okay, phone? Everything's going to be okay.
Airplane mode? No.
It's the only way that we can keep you living.
No, I said. I'm a phone. What kind of life is that? I won't be able to use any of my apps. Not even Bluetooth. What's the point of even being on?
There's got to be something we can do. Can we put him in rice? Let's put him in rice! Come on, let's get a big bag of rice in here. Just throw him in.
That's for water damage. And even then, does that really work?
Well, I'll check.
No, Mr. Phone, save your strength. I know what I'm talking about. It's rice, not magic.
Oh, God. I just thought we had more time, you know? But there's so much I wanted to do. So much I wanted to ask you.
Look, you know, you can ask me anything.
How old is Goofy's son supposed to be in a Goofy movie? I have been arguing with Katie. I just have to know.
He's 14 years old.
Phone? Phone?
He was a good phone.
Nah, he was a piece of shit.
I'm so sorry, I have to take this.
Hello, Dr. Fredericks.
Hello.
So I'm getting quite close to that flat line thing, I can feel.
Oh, yeah.
You know when your phone takes like 5 seconds to kind of open up to take a picture of a dog you're never going to look at?
You know how you guys have always made fun of my shitty phone? I don't think...
Well, hang on a second. You've had a shitty phone, but then out of nowhere you'll just get like a really great phone and then you won't even like mention it.
Well, I didn't realize that it deserved a public announcement.
Yeah. Otherwise, you haven't got a new phone unless you publicly announced it.
Oh, I see what you mean. Of course.
It's like you just don't get modern day. Like you just defy it at every possible moment.
But at this point, my phone is so terrible that I think it's actually indestructible. I don't think my phone could ever actually die. It's fallen at least 5 million times. And I walk around with it currently, and it's not even closed properly because the back doesn't snap back into its original place. So it's kind of hanging half loose, half open, half closed. But it's still going, hey?
I love contrast in life, Vali Baloy, and you definitely are the contrast to most things.
Yeah. But it is time for a new one, though. I think I should actually just get it out of the way and switch it this weekend.
Yeah, but you got that last year, didn't you?
What do you mean? No, this. No, yeah. No. This I've had. It's getting close to my upgrade time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so my whole gripe at the moment is that I feel like I'm in an arranged marriage. It's like I'm destined for the iPhone 10, and this isn't a plug for iPhone, obviously. It's just that I've been using this iPhone. But I've got the old 6, and it's been so good to me. It's exactly like that sketch. Is that, like, it's dying, but I don't want to admit that it's dying because it's been so good to me.
Yeah.
But if you're going to upgrade, there's no point going for the 7 or 8 because essentially you're just getting the same phone. I know that Apple geeks will tell you about processing power and this and that. But the only thing that anybody really cares about on a phone is that the camera is much better.
Yes.
And it looks newer. So what Apple done, they've got this housing device, which has been the same since 6. So basically, they're just trying to sell you a City Golf with like a better interior. It's the same exterior. And then like Gareth got the 8 Plus. but it's just slightly bigger. It's this big chunky thing in your hand. It just looks awkward.
Yeah.
So then it's like, oh, you got to buy the 10. You know how expensive the 10 is?
How much does it cost?
You know what a dumbass, like, and I just, maybe it's just because I'm deep down a bit of a hipster. I don't want to have the thing. Because it's like, oh, you've got the iPhone 10. And then someone's going to have a conversation about you being the guy with an iPhone 10. I know that dies down because these things last for about three minutes. But I don't want to have a conversation in life.
Yeah.
And at that very moment, I realized this is the most trivial worry in my entire existence for all 36 years of my life.
But that is...
because I don't want to have the iPhone 10 conversation.
Ooh, yeah. Look, that's what brands do to us, though, hey? A lot of people won't admit that the only reason that they buy a specific phone is because, you know, they want to be seen with it.
Yeah, but then Toby Shabshak came in. So I think it was 2 weeks ago. Now, if you like tech... just the latest on what's going on in the world of tech, Toby Shabshak is just, he is the man. So if you want to find that podcast on cliffcentral.com. And he made some very, very good points about just staying on a certain ecosystem.
Mm.
You know, I've got like 7 or 8 apps that I've actually paid money for. No one's got time to do that again by going to Android. I'm trapped. I'm absolutely trapped.
And I'm trapped on Android then. I mean, I'm thinking now, okay, so which Android am I going to get next? I'm not even thinking, should I even consider the iPhone?
Well, exactly. This is the thing. I wish there was another way. I wish there was another way. But no, I'm trapped. So now I've got to go and buy the iPhone 10. It'll be the biggest grudge purchase of my entire life.
Oh, dear.
And then I've got this phone.
And then we're going to have to listen to you complaining about the biggest grudge purchase of your life.
No, I won't. I'll bear it as an internal cross. But it is. Like, you know, and because I've been looking for these things online, everything I do online now, I'm just bombarded with more images of a phone I do not want to buy, but I have to buy.
Mm.
I could only liken this to being an ISIS and having an arranged marriage or something.
Of course. It's exactly the same thing. It is exactly the same thing.
But it is. Like, all the different fanfare around new iPhones, I think it's just hilarious.
Companies strive to make their products better. But at Apple, we pride ourselves on thinking different. That's why with the iPhone 7, we've done something that at first seems counterintuitive.
And I know this is the iPhone 7, it's old, but it's the same principle applies.
And then is, we've made it worse.
We removed the headphone jack. And that's all. That's the new. That's the newness right there. It's just the lack of a thing that was...
And yes, I'm still coming to grips with the fact there's no headphone jack, because I'm on the old one. So it's like a big step in my life.
There, and now it's not. It's gone. It's not there anymore. Ta-da!
Once we conceived of this exciting new update... Oh, no, down date. It was so beautiful in the way that it allowed me to go home at 2 p.m.
It's all about simplicity. Everything will run through one port. Now, you might be asking yourself, what if I want to charge my phone while listening to music shit?
Apple has always pioneered sleek, beautiful design, which is why you will fucking hate the literal parade of dongles you need to plug it into anything as or more complicated than a donut.
Oh, you could just go buy a pair of Bluetooth headphones. There you go. Problem solved. And if you normally use your headphones...
So yeah, this is my life for the next few months. I've got to do all of this.
Mm.
The next few weeks, I've got to do all of this. And then, like, what color?
What do you get to choose from again? Black, white, gold, silver.
Black, white, rose gold.
iPhone 6S. Apple has added sleek new features and an array of colors, including rose gold. The reaction of our users has been louder than ever. We've listened and are pleased to announce the rose gold iPhone is not gay. The iPhone 6S is the most powerful and least gay smartphone on Earth. It comes in a wide variety of other colors, including blowtorch, raw meat, and scraped knee. Do those sound like gay colors? Because they're not.
Why does it matter if a phone...
Maybe I should just go back to, like, just an ordinary feature phone.
Wow.
Can't deal with the stress. Morning, guys. Ben, just get the iPhone X. Coming from a 6, believe me, you'll enjoy it. And DP, yes, I get that. I know it's going to be a massive upgrade. I'm just going to basically put my phone in, like, the most horrifically, like, chastity belter sort of cover that nobody can see what it is. And then no one's ever going to say, oh, you got the iPhone X, you're such an Apple fanboy.
Oh, boy.
Morning Mesa, please play All Over Again featuring Lisa Shaw, Vinny Da Vinci. If you want to start the weekend proper, this track is the Jumper Cable. The bah. Hit it at 7 from John. John, you know what? It's Friday. I will look for that for you. I can't guarantee I'll find it, but I'll look for that for you. Anyway, still no sign of Sia. If you have seen him, if you see him wandering the streets right now with his pants half done, let us know. Return him to sender. Sorry, no, that's a terrible idea. Return him to the studio. That's probably the better, more responsible option. It is time for the things you need to know on this beautiful Friday, and that is with my buddy Malloy, the 5 things you need to know.
Alrighty then, we will begin with what the Deputy President said yesterday, that would be Cyril Ramaphosa, having told the party's parliamentary caucus that immunity from prosecution for Babagatu Duzani is not part of transition discussions. He also assured the MPs that the talks would be concluded, or rather would be concluded soon. He addressed the caucus yesterday. He was flanked by Party Secretary General Ace Magashule and his chief whip, Jackson Mthembu. But unfortunately, there is still no word on whether or not Zuma is going to resign. I mean, it's still very much a case of everybody gets locked up in a room behind closed doors, a whole bunch of meetings happen, then somebody comes out, addresses the media, nothing real gets said, and nobody knows what the next step is really going to be.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, they were sort of pussyfooting around Bob.
Yeah.
And then eventually sanity prevailed. It's like there's more life in Ujekop than there is in Bob. So if you give him all this rope, he will basically tie you up. And this is exactly what he's doing. Because this guy's whole thing is he will outlast you because he is a bottom feeder. And everyone's going down to his level like, oh, Jacob, we don't want to humiliate you. And he's like, bitches, please. If we're down here, we're going to wrestle.
I mean, it is pretty impressive that it is requiring this many meetings, this much time, this many people to deal with one individual. So Ace Magashule, he held an impromptu media briefing yesterday where he told journalists that the purpose of all the meetings that they've been having, or certainly the one that they had yesterday, was to meet and greet and to ensure that the MPs would deliver on the party's mandate spelled out in resolutions adapted at its December conference. But yeah, look, we wait to see what will happen. I think it was our own Justice Malala who had said earlier this week that he anticipated that the president would be gone by the 8th of February. That was yesterday.
Well, yeah.
Didn't happen.
And obviously Prophet Malema was saying he'll resign any time from now.
So,
We mustn't forget, this is a guy who literally sat in silence for an hour when Tuli Manosela was actually basically grilling him with questions that he could not get out of. And this guy, he's such a piece of shit. He just sat there. And that's all he basically offered for about an hour. So I reckon Cyril goes into these meetings, and Cyril's got like a PowerPoint together, and he's done his stuff, and there's tea, and there's cookies, and it's all there.
He's done his research.
And he just looks at him, he puts his middle finger up his nose, straightens his glasses, and goes...
Yeah, I mean, how do you begin to negotiate with that kind of a situation?
You need to treat people who are like this in any way they understand, and I think, unfortunately, it's violence.
And then the state and claimants in the Life Esidimene arbitration hearings reached an agreement on damages in some of the claims by the families who lost loved ones during the transfer of mental health patients to a number of NGOs that were not licensed. Legal arguments in the arbitration hearings played out yesterday before the agreements were announced. And the deal for Life Esidimene families is to receive 200,000 rand each while other claims are being determined, which a lot of people had very mixed emotions about yesterday. You know, a lot of people saying on social media, you can't put a price on a loved one's life.
Just saw that instantly. Yeah.
A lot of people were saying that yesterday. Other people saying, well, you know, at least it is something. It's a difficult one because, you know, if you're not one of these affected family members who lost a loved one, you know...
Well, it is, Mubs. I mean, only what, a week ago, we were actually just overwhelmed by the fact that someone had recognized it and apologized.
Yes.
So if you look
that at, was the health minister.
If you look at the general course of progress here, 200,000 rand per person could be seen as a mini triumph, considering what a catastrophic thing it's been since then.
Yeah. So, it's some resolution, I suppose. Some of the family members here will feel that that was a good agreement that was reached. Others will probably feel indifferent. Again, you know, depending on who you are and how you have been affected by the situation, you will respond differently to the agreements that were reached yesterday. Now, let's head on over to the Western Cape and have another look at Patricia de Lille's problems.
No.
Look, we've been saying that if this woman is indeed going to be taken down by the DA, she is not going to go down without a fight. And yesterday, she, you know, admitted that, okay, fine, she does want a secret ballot in a no-confidence motion against her. She wants DA members to vote with their conscience during their no-confidence motion against her. She's launched an urgent application at the Western Cape High Court, adding that she is aware that her party caucus does support this motion of no confidence against her. She says that the party's constitution makes the decision binding on all members, even those who didn't vote for it. De Lille is also demanding that the vote be a secret vote. And this is all meant to take place next week, Thursday. She says she will ensure that her supporters can vote against the motion without any fear of being sidelined by the party.
Yeah, it's a messy business, this, eh?
Politics is, Ben. Politics is a messy business.
But unfortunately, it's just always attracting away from... Like, we've actually lost sight of, lost any idea what these people are meant to be doing.
Exactly, because...
Like, what are they meant to be doing? Because all it is no confidence. There's, like, this guy stole this, that guy stole that. Please get out. No, I'm staying.
Yeah. When do you actually do what you are supposed to be doing? And then lastly, a California court has recognized a pastry chef's right to refuse to sell a wedding cake to a same-sex couple. You remember the story?
Ah, yes, the story. Yes, lingering. Huh?
Yeah, it exploded yesterday with the headlines. It got a lot of traction. But yes, this court has said, well, you know what? It's the chef's prerogative whether or not he wants to sell this wedding cake to a same-sex couple or any couple for that matter of fact.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. That's it.
That's it.
Those are your five things you need to know. What do we do after that normally?
The sport, Ben.
Do we do the sport?
It's the sport, yeah.
Oh, we do the sport. Okay, well, yeah, the sport for the weekend, as I said, the Pink ODI will be on tomorrow at the Wanderers. So it is a sellout crowd, and it is to benefit Pink Day, so breast cancer awareness this whole weekend. Now, if you aren't going to be at the stadium, obviously when you go to the stadium, you're making a big... You make a big contribution already by buying a ticket and getting there, and everyone dressed up in pink because it is just a great annual thing. And right now, I think the cause definitely trumps the spectacle of the Proteas playing cricket, sadly. I know the Proteas never lost a pink match when they're all dressed in pink, but this time around they are going to get hammered just like every other match in the series because their team is pretty basic. Aubrey de Villiers will be back, though. That was the big talk of yesterday, so the squad was announced for the remaining three matches, and Aubrey de Villiers was part of the three matches, or part of the squad. No factor for Cecil, he'll be out for, well, still a while. Now, there's a worry there that he won't even be able to be fit for the start of the Australian series. So, as soon as the Indians leave, after three more ODIs and three T20s, it is a big test match March. So, throughout March, there'll be four test matches. What an amazing spectacle that's going to be. So, Aubrey de Villiers is going to be back, and hopefully he's going to bring the added impetus that is needed just to kind of get this team in order. Obviously, young Aidan Markram is tasked with leading the side, a side that really is just offering nothing from any perspective. And people obviously making a big deal about the batsmen being so crap right now. But as for the bowlers, I mean, they're not taking wickets. The Proteas are taking 10 wickets in three matches. Just 10. Add a run out in there, that's 11. So, it looks like Farhan Bayardeen might come back because, let's be honest, David Middleton, absolutely nothing to warrant his position in the squad right now. And Kai Zonda, I still don't see how he is offering more than Bayardeen, who does have Proteas experience. I know he hasn't done very, very well, and I'd be the first to always say he had no place in the team, but where the team is right now, he has to play. If he doesn't play, then Otis Gibson does not like him. Simple as that. I'm not spreading rumors here, but it's just so plain to see. So that'll be something to look forward to on Saturday. But it's also a big weekend of football because the Premier League, well, it starts off with Spurs versus Arsenal. Now, apart from the fact that both of these teams always seem to be fighting for fourth place in the log, Spurs have actually become quite cool. Well, I say quite cool in that they're in Europe, they're in the Champions League, they play next week against Juventus. They've got Harry Kane, who many believe is the best striker or the best player in Europe right now. So if you're the best player in Europe, then you're the best player in the world, because all the best players play in the European leagues. He was the first Tottenham Hotspur, the quickest Spurs player to get to 100 goals, and he's in absolute amazing form. His numbers surpass even Ronaldo and Messi this year, which is always hard to kind of like make sense of, because obviously they're playing different leagues and they've got very different teams and all that kind of stuff, but still, it is something that has to be admired. So that's the big one. 2:30, Arsenal versus Spurs. Before this match, Arsene Wenger was saying that the British are the best divers in all of football. I tend to disagree. I really do. But obviously there was much controversy over Spurs' last match where they drew 2-2 with Liverpool. There was Dele Alli going down in the box. He went down very, very easily, and then Kane slotted home the penalty. So lots of controversy around that. But then again, with these big matches, the English press, they love to fan the flames. That's what they do. They just fan the flames, and then we get drama. 2:30, it'll be at Wembley Stadium. Last time I think these two teams played, there was way back in the FA Cup. Arsenal won that one. Everton, they just took a hammering to Arsenal last time out. They'll play Crystal Palace. Stoke will be taking Brighton's Hove and Albion's. Swansea will be hosting Burnley. West Ham, Watford, Man City versus Leicester City. Kind of an interesting match, that one, because it seems that Mahrez was rumoured to be going to Man City, the Leicester player. He will not be playing in this match, so I don't know what you can draw from that. And then on Sunday, big games to look out for there would be Newcastle hosting Man United at 4:15, and Southampton are hosting Liverpool. Liverpool currently in third position because Chelsea have slipped up of late, but on Monday, Chelsea can get back in winning ways. They'll be taking on West Brom and Albion. That's your FA, not your Premier League. But it's the big weekend for the Nedbank Cups. The Nedbank Cups really had quite an interesting week so far. It is the Cup of Dreams. It's when the small teams take on the big teams. And then Ubuntu Cape Town already beat Polokwane City. So, will there be more upsets of the weekend? Starting tonight, Cape Town All-Stars. There's so many teams in Cape Town. I mean, on all these dry, bone-dry, unwatered fields, they're producing all these teams.
Shame. I almost feel sad for, like, do these teams, I mean, could any of them benefit from just calling it quits? Or do they do it for the love of the game, that whole thing?
Like everything in man's life, my buddy, they do it to get checks. What do? I play for football. I play for a football team. Okay, awesome. So you're not broke then. See, small things.
Okay.
Cape Town City taking on Mamelodi Sundowns. That'll be tonight at the Athlone Stadium at 8 o'clock. So all Cape Town All-Stars fans, what a big one. Stenberg United, they'll take on Orbit College. I mean, these are really big things. Orlando Pirates take on IS Cape Town. That's a big one there. That's at 8:15. The Super Eagles will take on the Free State Stars. I mean, like, a lot of these games, they just sound like five-a-side teams that got together and then they just added a few more guys and then now they're in the Bank Cup. Kaizer Chiefs on Sunday will take on Golden Arrows at 3:30. And then Bloom Celtic will take on Supersport United at 3:30. So there are a couple of really big games here. Or there's the Happy Wanderers versus the Royal Eagles on Sunday, also at 3:30. If you're in the Sugar Ray Stadium. And then, yeah, more take place next week after that. But the big story, I guess, that's going around right now is that Justin Gatlin seems to be coming to South Africa. Now, we all know who Gatlin is. He is the two-time drug cheat. Obviously, when you refer to an athlete, you'd like to say two-time world champion. He is the current world champion, though, so you've got to give him that. But he's been bust for drugs twice. And according to Cameron van der Berg, the South African Olympic swimmer yesterday on Twitter, he said, I've actually got to read this tweet word for word, because it's not often that we get people who are in positions of profile in South African sport who actually speak up about this kind of stuff.
So when you get this kind of stain on you as an athlete, do we have to keep reminding everyone that you're a cheat? Well, you know, in the same way that you keep going on about Maria Sharapova whenever, like, she's making the news. You never forget to leave out the fact that she's a cheat.
Well, it's a great question, Mavis, because this is what the whole thing about Gatlin is. Because according to the IAAF, he has obviously fallen foul of the rules, but he has been cleared to run. So it all comes down to the question is, will he be remembered for a cheat forever, Or do you look at him in the way the IAAF look at him, as an eligible to run, and therefore he is an eligible athlete?
Mm.
So if you're one of those guys who just is a real stickler for the rules and just, you know, obviously you've got no emotion in what you do, you take the latter. You say, he's clear to run, he's a champion, leave it alone. But Cameron van den Berg, this is a tweet he threw out yesterday. Athletes getting excited to welcome Gatlin to South Africa. Are you not forgetting the man is a double drug cheat with a third investigation pending? Stand up for clean sports.
Third investigation.
Exactly.
Pending.
So I'm more in line with Cameron van den Berg, because I think once you've cheated, you've done wrong, but it was an intentional thing. Drugs and sport are really bad, okay? So this guy, obviously, you bend the rules and there's loopholes and all that kind of stuff, but he's a drug cheat. He got ahead by being a drug cheat. Sure, he was banned and he was fined, all that kind of stuff, but drugs was part of his career. You can't go back on that.
Mm.
It's like Lance Armstrong can go, well, you know what, guys? I haven't taken anyone else's blood for, like, 4 years. So I want to go, no, Lance.
He's been banned for life, right?
Exactly, which isn't long enough.
So there's also degrees to this cheating thing. I mean, the fact that Justin Gatlin isn't allowed to run, and then Lance Armstrong, you know, got banned for life. There's levels to this thing.
But then, Cyrus Duplessis.
I'm sorry, just try. Who?
Cyrus Duplessis, who is not one to know to poke the bear on anything. He actually had also an interesting response to Cameron van den Berg's tweet. He said, cheat or not, Gatlin's participation is creating a buzz around a sport that is producing world champions and is in need of promotion. Swimming needs something similar to lift it from its current doldrums.
So wait a minute. Is Sears saying that swimming needs a scandal?
No, Sears is saying that swimming needs high profile.
Oh, okay.
Brings me to my next point, is that Gatlin, cheat or not, he is the current world champion. He is high profile. So he comes to the country, people will talk about it, which means people will talk about athletics, which means people will watch our young athletes, which means sponsors may give a bit more of a shit.
Okay.
So I know there's a bit of a strange domino effect here, but this is the world we live in, people. We've all got shit. We've all got dirt. We've all got skeletons.
Exactly.
So it's a great argument, and I still side with Cameron van den Berg's argument, even though I do like CS as a person, and if it came down to it, I obviously have his back because he's a good guy. But I think it's a really interesting discussion point, this. Do you allow these people in, or are you so principled that you would rather forsake full crowds, media attention night and day, because you want to stand up for clean sport?
Yes, but, you know...
What a conundrum.
It is a conundrum, because for me, then I think, okay, so you want to stand up for clean sport, but let's be honest about how clean it is.
Well, there's that too.
I mean, yes, you have people like Justin Gatlin and them who get caught, but how many more people that you haven't caught are still cheating behind the scenes?
Yeah, well, especially the ones in the fringes that know that they actually can't get there unless they take that drug. And if, again, to play devil's advocate here, if you're a young star and you're coming fourth or fifth, and you look at Gatlin and you look what he did, you think, yeah, look, if I keep on the trajectory where I am now, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to quit the sport.
Yeah.
Okay. If I take drugs and I then start winning and no one really catches me, then I'm there. If I do get caught, I'm going to quit the sport.
Yeah.
So either way, I'm probably going to be out. But let me roll the dice here, because drugs might be the difference of me staying in the sport or not. Either way, I'm probably on my way out.
And I'm pretty sure there are plenty of athletes who started out with all the good intention in the world to be clean athletes. And then slowly but surely, the pressure started getting to them. And the demands that people make on them, you know, they work on these guys as well, I'm sure.
No doubt. So in other sporting news for the weekend, it'll be the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which is currently taking place in America. Now, I don't ever want for being a major celebrity, but there's two times in the year that I would love to be a massive celebrity. It's this weekend for this golf tournament, because obviously you get all the stars in the PGA Tour, and then you get, like, celebrities and the rich white guys. I would just love to be part of that. And then the Alfred Dunhill at St. Andrews. Those are the two tournaments that I really wish I was a major celeb and I get invited. So currently leading the way is Kevin Streelman. Him and Hossier is in the lead there. And then I have Africa PGA tournaments, which is obviously the big one in South Africa right now. Loads and loads of rain yesterday. So unfortunately, many guys couldn't finish their rounds, but Chris Lloyd and Competence Smith, they did. Minus 8. Jeepers, that's a good score. And on the European Tour, well, they're in Australia for the ISP. It's something or other, Handa 6. So the first 2 days, basically, a stroke player, then this match play over 6 holes. Massively exciting, as I said yesterday. And finally, the Winter Olympics. If you're in for the opening ceremony, 12 o'clock South African time, you can turn on the Winter Olympics opening ceremony, watch everyone shivering to death because it is so cold in Pyeongchang. So cold. Bitterly cold. So incredibly cold that they even got, like, heated jackets.
Oh, that's nice.
So you put these jackets on and they're actually heated.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Right, in cryptocurrencies, that's obviously things that were big last year and now are less big this year. If you were to look at the Bitcoin price right now, it has it's trying hard to get up. It's kind of like an old dog, you know. It's like an old dog, and you clap and you offer treats, and it gets onto like two legs, and then it just falls down again. Bitcoin is $7,876 right now, and Ethereum is $806. Also Ethereum, it's almost like that copycat pet. It'll just follow whatever the old dog's doing.
You know, we really need to get Run back in here to tell us about when these different currencies are likely to start picking up again, because I think that's what a lot of people are waiting for is, okay, yes, they warned us that there were going to be ups and downs. It has been down for a while, and a lot of people are saying, okay, well, when is the up coming back?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a very good question. Getting back to the messages, is it true Conor and Mayweather in the octagon? Look, if Mayweather is so stupid to go into the octagon, then he deserves everything that comes to him, because, let's be honest, this fight was always about McGregor going out of his comfort zone and Mayweather just walking it. So, those two should just, I don't know, they should just put on some George Michael and just see what happens between them. Because I don't think it's about fighting, I think it's about loving. I really do.
Oh.
I think both of them have something, there's a glint in each other's eyes when they see each other.
You think both of them are looking at each other and secretly fantasizing about what could be, but...
Completely, without doubt. Vince says that President Zuma is sticking to his position like a dried piece of shit on a wool blanket. That's quite a thing.
Mm, because, you know, it's very difficult to get out.
I mean, I can't say I've just personally soiled a wool blanket, but I know both elements, and to put them together would be very, very difficult. Ben, get the AirPods for the iPhone X. Awesome product. No, I draw the line. I will not be getting AirPods. I draw the line there. But thank you for your...
Essentially have to sell one of your organs on the black market to afford any Apple accessories?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there is that. And so far, so good on the organs. I don't know if I can get rid of them. Mm. Normally at this time, we'll have something positive from Sia Sangweni. Again, of course, if you do find him roaming the streets, or if you do find him in the back of a car, wherever you may find Sia, please return him to the General Rivonia area and then just give him a glass of water and he'll find his way home. Sia, come back. Sia, come back. It's at times like this, I always think of the Adele song, Hello. And if there was ever another side to the song, Hello by Adele.
Red lines have increased over time, while blue lines...
Oh, shit. Sorry, guys. I swear I turned this off. Sorry.
Anyway, we can expect that over time...
So Adele's phoning
sorry,
this
sorry,
guy.
Sorry.
What's going on? Who keeps calling you?
It's just my ex. It's probably nothing, but let me just send a quick text to be sure. Okay. Sorry about that.
Well, if there are no more interruptions...
Okay, I really think this might be an emergency. All right, let me take this really quickly. I'm sorry. Hello?
Hello.
It's me. Yeah, I know. What's going on? You must have called 1,000 times.
I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet.
What? Seriously? I thought you were dying or something. You called so much.
When I call you, you never seem to be...
Yeah, because I don't like picking up the phone, okay? Most people our age just text.
There's such a difference between us.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, look, if you need to reach me again, just text me or email or, hell, even Facebook message. I still haven't downloaded the separate app for it, but I'll see it when I log into Facebook. Okay? Hello? I lost the connection.
You know, that's fine, because I did actually work hard on this presentation.
I just don't understand why she didn't send an email at 3 a.m. like a normal person.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I actually called someone.
Right? And definitely not an ex.
No, they don't talk to me.
Yeah, that's not a calling relationship.
Call a doctor.
You call a doctor.
Text a doctor.
I would love to be able to text a doctor. I'm
Come
sorry.
On.
God damn it. Hello?
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. I just can't talk right now, okay? I don't know what time it is there, but it's the middle of the workday here.
I'm in California.
You're in California? What? Since when? When did you get here? I thought you were in England or something.
It's so typical of me to talk about myself. I'm sorry.
Okay, no. We're talking about this now because you're here. You didn't come here just to check in on me, did you? Hello?
Hello?
I lost the connection again. It's like she's calling from some outdated phone. What?
Hello. Can you hear?
Barely. It sounds like you're calling from the middle of a windstorm or something. Go inside. Hello. Okay, look, I'm hanging up now. I'm gonna hang up. Don't be mad. I'm hanging up because I can't hear you, okay? I'm hanging up. All right. Go ahead.
Trap, if these calls keep affecting your life, you should just cut her out completely.
I know.
Yeah, man, you have a weird relationship with her.
I know. I'm afraid she's going to write a song about me.
Oh. All right. So that's your first hour. And we've got more news coming up with Mubs. And should we call Amanda today?
Why?
Well, you know, she had her 21st birthday last week.
Oh, yes, that's right. Her and Sia and Balesa's birthdays were, like, one after the other or something.
Yeah, and then Amanda had this, like, big party on the East End, and then Dory went, and she said it was out of hand.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Let's give her a try.
Yeah, because, you know, like, obviously she's awake now.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, she's up, she's already gone for a walk.
7 o'clock on a Friday morning after Puza Thursday. Oh, she's definitely
totally
awake.
Totally there. Who was the person who wanted that song? Sorry, I can't find it, John. I can't. I just can't. Mail me a link or whatever, but I'm sorry, I can't find your song. But I will play you this instead. Because it's Friday. And why wouldn't you want some Kid Cudi? With Pharrell. What's up? 079-748-2090 if you want to get in touch. Just like that person. And that one too.
This is CliffCentral.com.